Welcome to the podcast of Battle Focus Ministries, equipping Christian saints for spiritual warfare. Thank you for joining with us today. If you are listening to us live and have a question or comment on today's topic, you may call in at the number listed on the webpage. Please be patient. There may be delays due to network speed. Also, you may post your comments or questions on our page at Blog Talk Radio or on our Facebook ministry page. Hello, I'm Robert Sims, broadcasting from the Seattle, Washington area. However, I am in a remote location again this week, and so I will not be able to accept call-ins or questions posted to Facebook or to Blog Talk Radio. Again, my apologies, but I'm even 100 feet away from my computer again and won't be able to interact with you. This is a live broadcast, however, and so you still get all the ands and ums and all that kind of good stuff as normal. Today we're going to be speaking about the parable of the sower. Our text for today is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, and Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. All of those different texts teach the same parable, the parable of the sower, or the four soils. And in that parable, Jesus reveals several strategies which the enemies of Christ use to accomplish Satan's goals. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself and died on a cross for our sins, but rose again from the grave, defeating the devil and defeating the grave, and swallowed them up in victory, and gave us the power to become the sons of God through faith in him and simple believing your word. Father, this day we ask that you'd help us to hear your word. Give us ears to hear, eyes that see, hearts that are ready to believe and to act on faith in your word. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 13, there are two similar parables. One called the parable of the sower, or four soils, and the other, the parable of the weeds, or, in other words, tares. These two parables are very similar. They both have a sower that is a planter of seed, a farmer. Both have a field. Both have that farmer working his field for the hope of a good crop at harvest time, for the farmer's own purposes and profit, to provide for his family, to sell at market, thereby providing for the entire community. And both parables have an adversary. Let's take a look at both in turn, and then we'll come back and concentrate on the parable of the sowers. The parable of the sower, for our text, will concentrate on Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, where Jesus teaches the parable, reading in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Jesus concluded that parable by saying, he who has ears, let him hear. The disciples wanted to know, and we want to know, why Jesus taught by telling parables or telling stories. Continuing in verse 10, we read, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered to them, his disciples, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. This them there is the Jewish nation. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Jesus, and the text continues and explains more about why the Jewish nation did not see and did not hear and did not understand the words that Jesus is speaking to them, the very word of God. Jesus, beginning in verse 18, explains to the disciples what the parable that he just taught meant. Verse 18, Jesus speaking, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one, that is Satan, comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path, the word of God. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, that is, yields a crop. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. In like manner, Jesus taught another parable, the parable of the weeds, or the parable of the tares, starting in verse 24. Parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' And the master said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants asked, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But the master replied, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Jesus taught another parable and then explained the parable of the weeds in verses 36 through 43. Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sowed this good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Again, he who has ears, let him hear." These two parables, these two stories are very similar. Again, both have a sower, that is a farmer, a field, the hope of a good crop, and an adversary. They teach two very different messages. And yet, one and each other embellish and teach some similarities with the other. Contrast the parable of the sower and the parable of the weeds. In the sower, both of them, is the Son of Man. Except in the parable of the weeds, you have the devil also comes in and sows weeds amongst the good seed. Both of the parables have seed. In the parable of the sower, it's the word of God. In the parable of the weeds, there's the good seed, the sons of the kingdom, and the evil weeds, the sons of the evil. Both parables have a field, but the field in the parable of the sower is one human heart. The parable of the weeds, the field is the entire world. That is, all of humanity in space, that is, geographically speaking, at any one time, and throughout time, from the beginning of the creation of the world through the days where this world will be destroyed by fire at the end of the age. And both have an adversary. In the parable of the sower, the adversary is pictured as nature, the birds of the air, the sun, and lack of moisture, and thorns that grow up among the crop. But Jesus explained in verse 19 that this pictures the evil one. Mark chapter 4, verse 15 specifically calls the enemy Satan. In the parable of the weeds, it's a competitor or a malicious enemy is the adversary. Now, there's a part of nature even for this story. That is the natural tendency of this fallen creation that we live in is to produce weeds rather than a good crop. But in verse 39, again, the devil says that the enemy is the devil or Satan. So in summary, we have the parable of the sower. The Son of Man is the sower, sowing the word of God into one human heart. And Satan opposes the sowing of that word of God into the human heart. Now, we can extrapolate that to apply to the heart of not just one individual, but again, the heart of every single person ever born from the beginning of time to the end of time. The parable of the weeds, you have the planting of the good seed in the entire world, that is, the entire population of the sons of the kingdom. And we have the planting of the weeds, that is, the sons of Satan, the sons of the evil one, throughout the entire world, and even including side by side with the sons of the kingdom. And we have that competitor, an enemy, Satan, who's responsible for the intermingling of the good seed, the fruitful crop, and the weed that diminishes the quality. I believe the primary interpretation of the parable of the sower concerns not salvation, only those that are unbelievers that have never heard the full preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it includes all believers. The parable of the sower concerns believers being fruitful, that they're bearing fruit, that God's word is bearing fruit in them, and that they're bearing fruit in the kingdom. The parable tells a story about a person who sows seed, and the seeds fell in four specified environments, the wayside, on rocky ground, among thorns, and in fertile soil. Jesus explains that the seed is the word of God, and the four soils represent those who hear the preaching of the word. All of them hear the preaching, at least physically, in relating but do they understand it? Does it last to bear fruit? And does it bear a plentiful crop? In relating the parable to spiritual warfare, the focus of our ministry, Jesus expressly states that Satan removes the word from the hearts of those who do not understand its meaning, the wayside. Although Jesus does not describe the devil's participation any further in the rest of that parable, I believe that the whole of Scripture provides ample evidence that the devil is at work throughout the full story. Let's take a look at the other synoptic gospels where Jesus explains the parable of the sower, and let's see if there's simply a slightly different perspective than Matthew had. Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15, Jesus explains the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they, notice these words, as they go along their way, instead of following Jesus, as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that was sown in good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Notice here we also in the field that has thorns in it, the fruit of the good seed does not mature. And in the good field, it takes the hearer of the word to hold the word of God fast in their heart, to take an active resistance against the enemy coming and snatching it away, and that they bear fruit with patience, that is, with endurance, and also being, or put it this way, avoiding the pleasures of this life, in the sense that we, in this life, in the times that we live in, want instant gratification for all things immediately except for judgment. If it's good, we want it now. If it's bad, we'll wait for that to some future day. But if it's good and I really want to see the end result of my actions, I want it now. We need patience and endurance. But certainly Luke, at least in part of the parable, applies Jesus' parable to those that have not heard the gospel, who do not believe the gospel, and if they hear the preaching of the word and they don't immediately understand it, they don't understand the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, immediately the enemy will come and take that seed away, the word of God away, so that it doesn't sit in their hearts and bring conviction and faith. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 4, verses 14 through 20. Jesus says that the sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown when they hear. Immediately Satan comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation, that is, testing or trial, persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And the others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Now notice that each one of these gospels brings slightly different words to the parable, but it teaches, the parable teaches the same major message, that we need to hear the Word of God, that we have to have roots, that we have to avoid being in thorns or have the fruit and the crop diminished by thorns, and that the ultimate goal of the Word of God sown in our hearts is to bear fruit, and that our lives are fruitful for the kingdom of God. But note this, that the parable does not teach anything or everything that God does to prepare the soil, to prepare our hearts for seed planting. If we take the example to its fullest concept, we look at a farmer and everything he does to prepare the soil planting next spring starts the day or the week after harvest, goes back out into the field after harvest and plows the ground, and it takes the stuff that remains on the top of the ground, turns it back into the soil so that nutrients return to the soil. And then those nutrients stay there throughout the fall and winter. And the farmer then comes back out in spring. And in the meantime, because of the rain and or possibly snow that is set on the ground, that upper crust of the soil has become hardened. And the farmer goes out and he breaks up that fallow ground, that hard ground, so that when he comes back and plants seed, the seed doesn't just lay on the surface and then get washed away or blown away, but the seed will actually go into the soil because he's broken up that hard, fallow ground. And then the farmer, after all that, at the right time, in looking at the weather pattern and the forecast, will go out and plant that seed, and then he does everything necessary to monitor the growth of those crops and to take corrective action when the crop isn't coming up the way it should, if there's anything he can do. So the parable doesn't describe everything a farmer does to prepare the soil for planting. In like manner, it doesn't teach everything God does for our hearts to receive the Word of God. So what's the point of the parable? The fullest teaching of the parable is everything that the enemy does are the major things that the enemy does to make the Word of God unfruitful in our lives. So it reveals enemy actions. You have in those different descriptions of the parable, different perspectives on the parable, we have these four different souls. We have the wayside, and it's described as hardened and trampled. And the heart, it represents the heart that has no understanding. The enemy comes in and steals the seed, or the enemy action could be described as blinding a person so that they do not see the light of Jesus Christ. We have the soil for the stony places, that is described as rocky or shallow soil, that it's been burnt by the sun, has little moisture, and that there's no roots that are deep enough to go past the hard part of the soil or the rocks to get down to groundwater. And so though there's an immediate growth, there is no long-term growth, and there's no fruit. The enemy comes in, and by the heat of the sun, by depriving the plant of moisture, harasses the plant or harasses the believer. There's a third section, those that hear the word among thorns. And we see a field that is not just plentiful with good plants, but also has thorns that have grown up in a minute. And if you've ever looked at farming, whether that's planting a crop or even forestry where you go out and plant trees, the more crowded the field, the harder it is for the individual plants to grow up and to get light and to get the nutrients from the soil that they all need to survive. So if you're a farmer planting a field, you space the plants appropriately out, and you make sure that the weeds don't get a chance to grow up and survive. Because if you allow the weeds to grow with, or the thorns to grow with the crop, it depletes the nutrients for the everyone. So there's, instead of a full bloom and full growth, there's only secondary growth. You might get a green stalk, but you don't get a strong plant that bears fruit. Or if it does bear fruit, it's smaller or it dies off because it's, the plant is not getting enough sunlight. And for those, for the application of the parable, those are those of us Christians who hear the word, who have life, but we get choked by the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, and the enemy action is an active choking of the plant. And we have the good soil, that's fertile soil, that has all the nutrients, that's not distracted or depleted by anything, that all the rocks have been removed, that the plants have no obstacles to develop a good root system that goes all the way down and taps the moisture, the very life that's already in the ground. And that supplies to believers who can bear fruit of the Word of God, that produces a crop that meets the purposes and plans of the one who planted the seed. The enemy has no other way to combat a fruitful crop other than to limit the size of the field or to limit the full crop that comes from that field. And as we study the parable of the sower this week and the next week, we will take a look at the enemy actions to steal the seed, to scorch the earth, to choke the plant, and to limit the crop. But let's start with Jesus' primary teaching for this parable. That is what he wanted the hearers to learn from this parable is in verse 9, let him that hears, let him that has an ear hear. Jesus, though fully describing why those in the congregation that he was trying to teach on that hillside as he sat in the boat, why they wouldn't hear, he wanted them to hear. As we look at Luke, one of the applications for this parable is Jesus wants those that have not heard the word of God, have not heard his gospel, his good news, he wants those people to hear salvation in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. The word of God throughout this parable is effective in us, those who hear the word, for every good work. But you have to hear. Verse 19 of our primary text in Matthew says, when anyone hears the word of God, word of the kingdom, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what has been sown along the path. Mark in chapter 4, verse 15 describes it with this, teaches the same thing with these words. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12 again bears this to salvation. The one along the path are those who have heard, at least with their physical ears. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. We must hear the word of God for salvation. That text in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where it says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable, starts by, that's addressed to a young man named Timothy, who in chapter 1 and verse 5 of 2 Timothy, Paul says that he was taught by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And in chapter 3, verse 15, it says that Timothy from childhood had been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Scripture, the word of God that we have received, is able to make us wise, not wise in our own eyes, but wise from the perspective of God, that it makes us wise for salvation through faith or believing in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God's desire, his plan, and his purpose is for everyone to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the enemy has been active to prevent unbelievers from hearing the word and from seeing the light. He's blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. That's why in Acts chapter 26, verses 17 through 18, Luke tells a story of Jesus commissioning Paul, sending Paul out to open the eyes of the Gentiles, that is, to open the eyes of the nations, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. We have, as a church, as Christians, been given the mission, just as Paul was, to open the eyes of unbelievers, to open the eyes of those who have been blinded by the enemy, so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. They can receive an forgiveness of sins and an inheritance by faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, Peter writes, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and it's all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever." And this is the word, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. In other words, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. This word of God, this seed, just like all seed, is alive. And when it goes into the soil, it's alive, and a living entity comes out of that new plant, and it breaks open that seed. The seed dies in the human realm. That seed dies as that new plant grows up out of it. And that new plant feeds itself out of the nutrients that are contained within that seed. And it patterns itself out of the DNA of that seed. But that seed dies. The word of God, unlike perishable seed, or seed that can be corrupt or not bear fruit, the word of God is alive and powerful, and it bites, it lives forever, and it bears fruit. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. Paul writes, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how shall they hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, who preach the gospel. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what is heard from us? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can you hear Jesus teaching the parable and concluding with these words? Anyone who has ears, let him hear. God desires all men to hear and understand the preaching of his gospel, to understand the preaching of the good news. And just like Paul, God has sent us to proclaim that all who call on him shall be saved. Dear listener, if you've never come to a point where you have believed that Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins, to forgive you, to bring you into the family of God, please hear the good news. But dear believer, the primary audience for God's message and Jesus' parable was God's chosen people, those who could have and should have heard the word and received it with gladness. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. And Zechariah records, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another, the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against one another in your heart. But they," that is the Jewish nation, "refused to pay attention, and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they may not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard, the hardest substance on the earth. They made their hearts diamond hard. Why? Lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by Spirit to the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. As I called, and they would not hear, so they called, and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate." Understand, this record is from the farmer who wants a fruitful field and a plentiful crop, but because of the hardness of their hearts, their land was made desolate, unbarren, crushing, barren, unfruitful, wasteland. In our text in Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 through 15, from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, when God commissioned the prophet Isaiah, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive." That is, let's go back to Zechariah. They made their own hearts hard. They refused to hear. So God says, you don't want to hear? You don't want to listen? Okay, keep on not hearing. You can hear with your physical ears, but you won't hear with spiritual ears. In other words, you won't understand. You may see with your physical eyes, but you won't see the kingdom of God. Make the heart of this people dull, verse 10, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. That's why Jesus spoke in parables, because of the hardness of unrepentant hearts. But he said to the disciples, he taught them in plain language. There is no reason other than by personal choice for a person not to hear and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan may come in and be an adversary and do everything he can to keep a person from hearing. But a person can hear by the power of the Holy Spirit and the clarity of the New Testament and the Word of God. Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, Paul writing to believers. Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works, to those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. He will give eternal life, but those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Believers can have hard and impenitent, unrepentant hearts. And God calls us to hear so that we hear God's word and we produce good fruits and we perform good works for a reward in eternal life. But there are those of us, and you and I are as guilty as those people out there, of being dull of hearing. And we, instead of following after God, we, like the parable, are choked by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, and we live our lives self-seeking instead of Christ obeying. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you, Christians, must no longer walk as the nations do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. When we look at that parable of the sower, we are talking about the seed, that the sower seeds along the path. And paths are these lanes that people have walked over and over and over again, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And they trampled the ground so that it's hard, grows in it. And likewise, we can have hardness of heart. And even a field that once received good soil, when some idiot walks across it, compacts and hardens that soil so that nothing grows. During the summer upcoming for that matter, we'll be taking a break from our weekly broadcast because I work as a national park ranger in national parks in Washington. I have worked in Mount Rainier up in the Paradise area and Sunrise area for the last several years. This year I'll be working out at Olympic National Park. But up at Mount Rainier at alpine levels, we have constructed trails where we want people to go so that they don't walk out into the wildflowers, because the minute they walk and take a step out into those wildflowers, one step, more than one person continues along that path that one person walked, they will trample everything and make a new path, and nothing will grow there again for a generation. Likewise, we can harden our heart, or our hearts can be hardened by the actions of others, and we become callous and not given to the things of this world. Correction, given to the things of God, but are given over ourselves to the things of this world. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19. These people who have made their heart hard, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way. You learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus Christ. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, we hear Jesus saying, "He who has ears, let him hear." The writer of Hebrews in chapter 3, verses 7 through 13 writes, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." They shall not enter my Sabbath rest. They shall not enter the rest in the promised land. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort or encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That continues and tells the story of the nation of Israel, that even though they were the ones who had been liberated from slavery of Egypt, and God had fed them with heaven's angels' food, and God had given them his revelation, spoke directly to them from the mountain and spoken to them through Moses and revealed his law and revealed his truths and made promises that they would be a blessing to all the nations of the world. That nation rejected God, and all of those adults that stood at Mount Sinai, that rejected God, that would not by faith enter into God's rest, enter into the promised land, died in that wilderness. And it was the next generation that got to enter in to the wilderness. In like manner, God says, if we harden our hearts, if we rebel, there's a text that says the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. If we rebel, if we simply do not believe, if we do not obey, we don't enter into God's rest. Verse 19 summarizes chapter 3. We see that they, the nation of Israel, in the wilderness, were not able to enter God's rest because of unbelief. In other words, lack of faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, the writer encourages, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit and of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Continuing in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. Just like the lost of this world need to hear the word of God, to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, so believers need to hear the word of God, the full truth of God's word, as it applies to our every single day life. That we're not conformed to this world, but we're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That we don't live according to our own plans, but the plans of God. That we aren't deceived by the riches of this world or entangled by the cares of this world, but that we have good soul, we have faithful, believing hearts, free of entanglement and free from distraction and free from our own desires, so that we're free to live for God and to bear fruit for his kingdom. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 13, we hear again the words of Jesus Christ. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The primary teaching of the parable of the sower is for us to hear God's word and to allow God's word to bear fruit in our lives and bear fruit for the kingdom of God in harvest time. And in that parable is revealed three different ways, in addition to Satan stealing the word away and snatching it away before we can hear it and understand it. He also scorches the earth. He sends thorns to choke the plants. And he does everything he can to limit the crop. We will teach these next week, Lord willing, as we do part two for the parable of the sower. In the closing minutes, I'm going to review those three areas. First off, we have the stony places. They're considered, are called rocky or shallow soil. They're burnt by the sun. They have no deep roots, and they have little moisture. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 20, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 20, our primary text is described as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation, that is testing or trial, comes along, or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, expounds upon this a little bit. Paul writes to Timothy, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, in Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord has rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not all who successfully live the godly life will be persecuted, but all who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. If you simply set your face towards living a godly life, this world and Satan brings tribulations and trials and persecution to keep you from fulfilling that desire. Who brings this persecution? It's certainly Satan, and it's certainly this world system. But 2 Timothy in verse 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13 says evil people and imposters. That is outside the faith, and imposters are wolves in sheep clothing who call themselves Christians will be those that bring persecution and testing and trial. Because either they're deceivers, they're actively deceiving others, and they're actively being deceived. They're allowing themselves to believe the lie. Our text in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, talks about this deceitfulness. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says that you and I as Christians should exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This world is one big lie. This world, everything in it desires to entangle us so that we're not fruitful for God's kingdom. It deceives us by the pleasures and the riches of this life and the deceitfulness of sin. It's one big lie. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 10, Paul writes, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he is distributed freely, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. God desires a full harvest for his kingdom." Our text in Matthew chapter 13, verses 23 and following says it, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields a crop, in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. James chapter 3 and verses 13 through 18, James writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, full of reason, full of mercy, and good fruits, impartial, sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." The devil has done everything he can to keep people from hearing the word of God. When it shows just a little bit of life, to bring testing and trial and, if possible, death, so that word does not bear fruit. And if the plant continues to bear growth and start to bear just the smallest quantity of fruit, the devil does everything he can, producing a full crop by the deceitfulness of riches. And when the soul is a good soul, in a good heart, a believing heart, and a faithful heart, God does everything he can to cut you away from other people. And it takes us reaching out, reconciling this world to God to overcome the enemy. Talk to you next week. Amen.